A special opportunity from Heritage Distilling Company. The most awarded craft distillery in North America for the fifth year in a row is growing so fast, we thought the timing is perfect to give you a chance to join our family and invest in our company.
This is not an offer to sell or a solicitation to buy any securities here or in any jurisdiction where such an offer is unlawful. Any private placement of the company's common stock can only be sold to accredited investors under federal law.
The time is now for a very limited time. Log on to heritagedistilling.com/investors.
Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a couple of Northwest Outdoor experts yap about it? This is The Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson and Rob Ensley on 710 ESPN Seattle and the 710 ESPN Seattle app. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Weldcraft and Duckworth Boats, Evinrude and BRP ATVs, Kitsap Marina, Harbor Marine, Truck Vault, and Costa Rica's CrocodileBay.com. It's The Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Welcome to Hour 3 of The Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle. If you log on to NorthwestSalmonDerbyseries.com, you are going to see a litany of events. And in August in particular, last weekend's South King PSA, this weekend's Gig Harbor, Vancouver Chinook Classic next weekend, the Edmonds Coho Derby, the Columbia River Falls Salmon Derby. It all culminates at the Everett Coho Derby at Bayside Marine at the Port of Everett, September 22nd, 23rd. The busy man that runs all of this is, of course, our next guest, Mark Uwasa, Northwest Marine Trade Association. Good morning, Mark. How are you, buddy?
Doing good. Morning, Tom. So, John, how are things going?
Doing pretty good, man.
Listening?
I'm kind of worried about the trailer bearings on that that $55,000-$60,000 boat you're going to give away. Is there the bearings going to be worn out on that thing before you give it away, Mark?
Man, we've been burning rubber every which way across the state here, up and down, east and west, you name it, you know. And so it's good though. I mean, you know, it's exciting time. It's a busy time of the year for our Derby series.
I've seen that boat on Puget Sound a couple days in the last 7 days too. So you guys are getting it out and making sure you want to make sure that it's broken in right before you give it to somebody.
Oh yes, definitely.
And so. Leave them a dead herring underneath the floorboards too. Yeah, when that thing goes. So today you find yourself at the Gig Harbor PSA Salmon Derby. I'm thinking, Mark, is that true?
Yeah, that's correct. Right now, I'm just pulled over on the side of Ruston Way here. I've been watching some boats running in and out of the bay and back towards each other. So, you know, we'll see what happens when I get over there. It looks just like a big maze of boats over there towards Defiance. And we're early word, and you know, kind of like John Kaiser had put it, you know, I've been hearing of some fish being caught over there. So we'll see what hits the weigh-in scales here any time now once it opens here.
Yeah, well, let us know. I'm curious. Last weekend, that was pretty impressive. Fish of almost 20 pounds that took the South King PSA Derby last week. And, of course, Puget Sound Anglers has this event this weekend at Gig Harbor. That all culminates at 4 o'clock this afternoon at the Tacoma Bass Pro Shops location. So, Mark, Wendy Begley came out with her weekly ocean salmon catch updates, and it had some surprises and definitely some challenges for anglers in mind. What did you see in that report?
Oh, yeah. I talked to her here on Thursday, and, you know, obviously, you know, we're going to see the closures here at Owako and Nia Bay coming up. You know, we got to give some love to those commercial trollers, though, for putting on some fish to at least get us through this weekend. You know, and those catches, my God, I mean, that's exciting, you know, when you're seeing more than a coho per rod down there at Owako and, you know, a few kings peppered in with that. So, and obviously now we're going to see the big switch, you know, everyone's going to start fishing inside at Buoy 10. I talked to her and asked her about Buoy 10, and, you know, she says we're coming up to peak time right now for that fishery. I know you're heading down there on Monday, and maybe it's perfect timing. Obviously, I always say that third week is a nice time to fish there. She was saying most of the fleet right now is up towards the bridge and finding some kings and coho. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's going to be a challenge. And of course, we got Lance Fisher jumping in later on this hour because, I mean, it's Washington's signature fishery. But here's the thing, Mark, and you know this as well as anybody. After a year watching little tiny, you know, rod tip, little tiny little strikes on your downriggers, which is fine, or sometimes they pop loose, the cork cracking, horrifying, graphite bending rip the rod off the side of the gunnel strikes in that estuary fishery are worth the price of admission right there, buddy.
Oh, yeah. It's so sweet when you're fishing in 15, 20 feet of water, and that big king just hits it, man. It's like a freight train, that's for sure.
And line's peeling off the reel. You put your drag on. You know, no downriggers is a lot of fun, and just any one of those river mouth fisheries is a kick. But, you know, even though there's less Chinook this year, you still got the chance to get a 35, a 40, or even bigger Chinook in that fishery, and it happens every year, Mark.
Oh, yeah, you know, and that's the exciting thing about that whole fishery is that, you know, I mean, the runs are down and everything, but, you know, I've got confidence in that, you know, with what we've been hearing early on, that we'll see some decent fishing here come these next couple of weeks here heading in towards the end of the month.
Hey, Mark, what kind of reports have you been hearing about South Puget Sound, and give us some of the areas where they've been catching some fish down there Chinook-wise?
Oh, boy, yeah. I mean, right where I'm sitting right now looking out, you know, my window here in the car, I mean, hey, it's, you know, Tacoma has just not let up since it opened on June 1st. I mean, you know, you get these little lulls here and there, but, I mean, I'm seeing guys just, you know, lighting up my Facebook page telling me, hey, Mark, you know, there's some nice fish coming in. You know, they're not huge. You know, they're all those little nice low-teen fish, you know, your typical hatchery fish for South Sound. But I guess, you know, they hit it right on the nail, you know, with this being a run that's up, you know, 35% from the 10-year average. So that's got to be exciting. I mean, it's not just, you know, here in Tacoma either. I mean, we're talking, you know, Anderson Island all the way down towards, you know, Itsami Ledge, you know, Johnson Point, you know, all these places down towards Zittle and all that. Hey, it's happening everywhere, so that's got to be exciting for folks down here in South Sound.
Yeah, what a boon for South Sound. You know, usually they wait for the Central Sound to close to move some fish, you know, that aren't getting caught and eliminated in the fishery up here, and then their fishery starts after we close up here. So it's probably kind of exciting for, you know, the anglers who live down in that part of the Sound to experience that kind of fishing. And it's kind of remarkable. I didn't understand that. I didn't realize, I guess, that the fishing has been good so such early in the season when it opened. That's just, gosh, it's been going on for a long time down there.
Right. I mean, yeah, it's exciting, you know. And I think, like you guys are saying on the show here too, is that, you know, we're talking a lot about Chinook, but man, you got to start getting excited about this whole coho thing too, because people are kind of ignoring Area 9 you know, up towards Possession Point, you know, up at the bait house up there. I've been hearing of coho coming off the beach there. You know, they had
so
a coho day up there.
Yep.
And so, you know, guys should start thinking about there and that west side of Whidbey here come in the next weeks, you know, here heading into September. So that's exciting as well.
Well, I think, Mark, a lot of people think that Area 9 is closed, you know, because they closed it for Chinook, but that was a Chinook
right.
closure. It's open for coho, and you can keep a marked coho in Area 9 right now. I'm pretty sure I'm correct on that regulation.
No, you can keep two.
Yeah.
Two marked coho.
Yeah. So, but, you know, Tom and I have been fishing every day, and as you well know, Tom, as you go by Area 9 Possession Bar on our way home back to Everett every day, I haven't seen a boat.
No.
I haven't seen one boat.
Everybody's in 10.
Yes.
Everybody's in 10, and you know, but that's fine. But so, but here's the deal, Mark. Your point is well taken, because that same wave of coho that slammed the door on Nia Bay, slammed the door on El Waco, is slamming in the Straits of Juan de Fuca. Look at the catch rates we're seeing at PA right now. There's still more Chinook on the way as well. But you got great numbers of coho coming in the Straits right now. The only thing that's got me really scratching my head right now. Is where's all the fish in the San Juans, Mark? I mean, I got a couple of good sticks that have been working the heck out of that. My buddy Mike McCauley was out with Kirk Hawley yesterday looking for some fish for a couple of friends that are in town. We're going to go fishing with them a little later today. Our plan was to go up to the San Juans, but I'm telling you what, you can't beat Area 10. What's going on up in the islands, you figure?
Yeah, you know, you hit it right on there, too. I mean, it's been pretty quiet up in the San Juans, and that's kind of weird, you know, that these fish, you know, you think they'd be there. I mean, early on, it was on fire too. So it is kind of a strange deal. But you know, we always take that mantra, right? You go to where the fish are.
You do.
And
yeah.
Sometimes, you know, they had a great winter fishery up there. So now it's kind of switched gears, and you go to where they're at. So, you know, it's one of those things, you know, that you kind of got to kind of look for the fish and go to the right place.
Yeah, and I mean, you could do a lot worse than going to the west side of San Juan and just parking, because, I mean, we got 3 weeks left of that fishery. Remember, we have no Chinook retention on the west side of San Juan this year. So, you know, you cut a month out of that season, and, well, you have a kind of a tough August on top, but it's going to be kind of a head-scratcher in the islands. All right, the regional roundup, what are we missing here? Do we cover everything, or is there something still on your back burner there, Mark Uwasa?
Well, you know, I kind of looking into the crystal ball, and, you know, I mean, folks, hey, it's the middle of August here, and people are starting to ask me about razor clam digging too. And, you know, Dan Ayers and all his guys at WDFW down there on the coast have finished up their summer assessments, and a little bit of a mixed bag. You know, I know last year was a disappointment. We only had 27 days of digging, but the good news this year is that both Kapalix and Mock Rocks, as well as Twin Harbors, are showing a big uptick of clams. I think the big disappointment, and I think, you know, the one that, you know, everyone was hopeful on and, you know, a year ago was Long Beach, and they're having some issues down there. And a lot of it is related towards that, you know, you got the freshwater runoff and low salinity water coming out of the big river down there, and it's not happy for clams. So, you know, that's something that worth thinking about right now. I mean, you know, that's going to, you know, you got some good low tides here coming up at the end of October. So, you know, have folks start keeping an eye on that thing, definitely.
Yeah, no question about it. He's Mark Uwasa, the Northwest Marine Trade Association. Keep us posted. I'm interested to see how big of a fish it's going to take that to win the Gig Harbor event today, given the fact that it was almost a 20-pounder that was on the podium last week. Mark, thank you for your time. Thank you for the information, and thank you for all you do on the Northwest Salmon Derby Series, Mark.
Hey, you guys have a good weekend, and I'll text you some updates from down here.
All right, let me know, man. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
All right, man.
Bye-bye.
So tell you what, load up the phone lines, 866-979-3776, locally 206-421-3776. That's the Reverse Chine Hotline, brought to you by Wildcraft Duckworth Northwest Boat. We've got a few texts to get to, too, so you got any questions for us, fire away, 710-710, powered by Everroot Outboards, and you got a question for us, fire away. We're here for you right here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle.
From the shining shores of Puget Sound to your radio, this is the Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN Seattle.
866-979-3776, locally 206-421-3776. That's Reverse Chine Hotline, brought to you by Wellcraft Duckworth Northwest Boat. 710-710 is a text toy powered by Emerald Outboards. We got John from Whidbey Island on line one. Good morning, John. What's up, man?
Yeah, good morning, guys. I just wanted to ask a question this morning. I know the commission's having their meeting down in Olympia today, and I went over to the Orca Task Force meeting this week over in Wenatchee.
God bless you for doing that.
Seems to me, huh?
God bless you for doing that. Good.
Well, I'm a little concerned that there's
so are we.
An element there that maybe they're not looking into our interests and maybe ignoring the Pinnipud documentation. I was wondering if you guys have heard anything specific that we can do to help them.
Well,
as far as not go the wrong direction with this.
Exactly. And there's a meeting, I believe in Anacortes, coming up later this month, and we need to pack that room. Because, look, John, this is a multifaceted problem. If we don't use all the tools or management methods that are available to us to assist this problem, then it's a joke, and it's not a very funny joke. So the most immediate thing that we can do to save fish that are out there right now is take care of this pinniped population that is eating six times what the combined harvest of recreational, tribal, and commercial salmon fisheries are, and the pinnipeds are eating, in addition to that, eating twice what the southern resident killer whales are eating. So how do we do this? Man, we've seen this before in the city of Seattle with the Herschel situation and the sea lion shutting off the runs of steelhead and salmon to the Ballard Locks. We got to trap and relocate these things out to the coast and let them swim through the pods of killer whales that eat these suckers. And that's what, or we need to deter them from taking a chunk out of our populations. If we can do that, that's going to have the most immediate effect. If the only thing that comes out of Governor Inslee's Southern Resident Killer Whale Recovery Task Force is sound reduction and no-go zones and habitat, then it's a joke. We need hatchery increases, but we also need a reduction in predation, not just on the pinniped side, but on the bird side as well, John. We have cormorants and other species that are grinding up our smolts too. And you know yourself, if you don't let those little ones get out in the ocean, they ain't going to come back as big ones.
Well, I would just mention that when I was over in Wenatchee, when they have the program done for the day where the task force is finished doing their thing, they open to public comment. And I'd say there's like 90% of that is like Greenpeace and groups that don't agree with possibly our particular views. It's very important that people realize these things are going on and we do need the support. I really appreciate you speaking to it this morning. Thanks.
No, John, and thank you for your call. And John, did you have a comment?
No, I did. Did John, if you're still there, did you get the feeling that there's a component there that's anti-angler?
Actually, I did, but it's not the majority of the task force. It's to talk on the air, and to be fair, I won't mention any names or particulars, but I do see that there is a manipulation hopefuls to go different directions, and yeah, it's there. It just needs more people to show up and say, no, we sportsmen, we want you to follow the science.
Yeah,
it's that kind of a deal.
But so here's the thing. I understand that recreational anglers take a few Chinook that could possibly go into the mouth of an orca. I get that. But when you have pinnipeds that are taking six times that amount, should we not look to this out of balance, overabundance of pinnipeds before we cut sport fishing? Our recreational license dollars support hatchery operations within the state of Washington. You cut sport fishing any more than the 9 days that we had, or 10 days that we had Marine Area 9 in the summertime, and the 6 weeks that we're going to enjoy, maybe six, probably 4.5 or 5 weeks that we get in Area 10. You take that away, you take away the guts of the backbone of the recreational salmon fishery in the state of Washington. There goes your license revenue, and then what have you gained by doing that? Nothing. You haven't gained a thing unless you take care of that predation problem. John, thank you very much for your call. Your point is well taken, and thanks again for getting involved in this Orca Task Force. Because
no problem.
Yeah, this.
Let's hopefully pack that Anacortes thing,
yeah,
and then have people speak their 2 minutes at the end.
Yeah, and we'll
favor.
There thanks you go. Again. Thank you very much, John. We appreciate it. Thank you for your call. Take care. 710-710, powered by Everett Outboards. That opens up a phone line, 866-979-3776, locally 206-421-3776. Hey, guys, I'm trying to find a podcast you had a couple years ago, an interview with a guy. He was fishing Hood Canal and just crushing the kings and silvers. That was our friend Clint Munns. Go to theoutdoorline.com, and you can find that podcast. We have changed the website to make it easier to go back and find some older stuff. So, yeah, and we may have Clint Munns on the show, because this is about the time of year, John, that you need to kind of start thinking about Marine Area 12, which is Hood Canal.
Well, if you're going down there, you better go down there right now, because the peak of that season usually is around August 10th. So, you know, we're a day past that right now. So you got about 7 more days of really good fishing, especially off the – what's the big hatchery down there? Hood's
the
Port.
The George Adams hatchery on the Skunk.
Right,
yeah.
There is where you want to go take
one
a look.
One of the largest point sources of Chinook. And I tell you what, they got a surplus last year, like 20,000 kings in that thing.
Yeah.
A surplus.
Yeah.
So we weren't catching them all, which is a shame.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of peak times, it's just about peak time down on the Columbia River, down in the wonderful estuary that is Buoy 10. Lance Fisher of Lance Fisher Fishing joining us next for a Buoy 10 update right here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Get in, sit down, hold on, and listen up. You're in the RenaissanceMarineGroup.com's wheelhouse, brought to you by Weldcraft, Duckworth, and Northwest Boats.
Welcome to the wheelhouse here on 710 ESPN's The Outdoor Line. That's John Martinez. Matt Nelson behind the glass. I'm Tom Nelson, and on the phone, my old buddy Lance Fisher, Lance Fisher Fishing. Well, Lance, we're kind of running out of interesting adjectives to use to describe this year's Chinook run. We've used unique, we've used challenging, we've used unpredictable, we've used give me an adjective. What do you call this year's Chinook run, especially with regard to the Buoy 10 fishery, Lance?
You know, I think this year's Chinook run is normal. Can I say normal?
Yeah, I'll give you that. I'll give you normal, but okay, not without an explanation.
You Okay, so, you know, the bottom line is that we're coming off record runs.
Yep,
okay,
that's
where
true.
Anybody
true.
And their mother could show up with a Snoopy rod and go catch a Chinook.
What?
Okay, how, it's not always video game fishing.
How dare you impugn my Snoopy rod?
Yeah, bottom line is that this reminds me of many years that we've had, and you know, fortunately or unfortunately, I think a lot of people only know of the video game fishing that we've had for the last number of years, and you know, that's not how it's always been. So this is more normal. I can remember crushing them on, you know, run sizes of 358,000, you know, and I can remember not thinking the fishing was very good on returns twice that. So a lot of it has to do with the conditions and what we're dealing with that way. And I don't know. It just seems to be normal to me. I mean, what is it, the 11th of August? And, you know, guys are able to go out and, you know, catch four or five Chinook in a day. And I don't think that's that bad.
So, Lance, are you changing your tactics up a little bit this year because of water conditions or temperatures? Are you doing anything different this year to put fish in the boat?
You know, I haven't had to. You know, I'm noticing a lot of guys running around on the skateboard flashers. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, you know, are those guys that just aren't that good of bait fishermen and that's just kind of, you know, a mindless way to catch fish? You know, it could be. You know, I know guys that have tried them and then gone right back to bait. You know, me, man, I'm pretty simple, and I got a big tide today, and I've got five Delta divers here and about six dozen herring, and it's called I Think They'll Eat These. I was talking to a buddy of mine on the dock this morning, and it's like, you know, I've seen guys catch fish on spinners, but I've never been out fished with somebody else fishing spinners. You know, if you show up here with a decent herring game, you know, you're going to probably do fine. And, you know, obviously you got to know when to move and know when to hold and do all those kinds of things. But, you know, I don't know. I'm feeling like it's a decent enough year. Yeah, we'd love to have two fish limits, but, you know, those are years of yore and, you know, whatever. It's all good, man. We're fishing.
Lance Fisher Fishing joining us this week. And when you say a decent herring game, are you talking about using some hole baits? Are you talking about cut plugging? You know, give us your go-tos. Do you fish both? Are you exclusively a cut plugger? How do you approach this fishery with regard to a herring presentation?
I think this year, just with the size of the herring that we're getting this year, you've got to do both, because there's some little peanuts, you know, that I don't mind fishing a red label, you know, frozen herring, but a red label
cut plug
fresh herring.
Yeah.
You know, it's not as stiff, it's not as starved, you know, so you're gonna want to show up with both. You know, the last couple of years, you know, we've had these, you know, some of these baits that are the size of purples, and you know, they hold up better in the stronger current, and you know, but this year, you know, you're gonna be cut plugging a green size herring, and you know, anything that's red and below, you know, you're probably gonna need to have some sort of whole herring game. That you're going to at least have to develop. Otherwise, you're going to, you know, be getting about six, seven baits to a dozen, you know, if all you're going to do is cut plug.
So are you just fishing a straight herring, or are you using an agitator flasher or a similar flasher in front of that, or are you just going with just straight herring?
No, I'm about as old school and boring as they get, man. I literally fish a Delta diver, and I fish about a 5-4 liter, and it's called Eat This. And I actually, for anybody that's listening, I don't know if you want me to plug this, but I did an article on this at LanceFisherFishing.com.
No, I read it. It's a good article. Plug it, man.
Yeah, thank you. It basically talks about the lead game. It talks about the diver game. And it really kind of goes through the history of where we're at today and kind of the trends and, you know, how things have gotten where they are today and some of the things we've forgotten. So, you know, if anybody's headed down, that might be a good article to read. And, you know, I didn't pull any punches on it. I didn't put everything in there, you know, but I definitely got somebody 80% of the way there. The rest of it, you know, you got to show up and put some time in.
So if you log on to Lance Fisher Fishing and you hit his blog link, you're going to see this along with some updates on the fishery, you know, the Astoria Buoy 10 opener August 2nd. It was a July 23rd article called Get Your Diver on LanceFisherFishing.com, and it does discuss this. But are you using or rotating an inline flasher in conjunction with that Delta diver or straight diver and bait?
I'm not.
Straight diver and bait.
Straight diver, man. It's straight dirty, baby.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just run a diver and it. Am I lying? Do you see any flashers? Nope, no flashers.
All right,
it's
so now.
Literally, it's just a diver and a diver, and, you know, I'm either cut flying or whatever. I mean, the bottom line is, I mean, there's plenty of flash on a diver.
There is.
And in a lot of conditions, you know, especially, for instance, on the incoming water and you've got ocean water pushing in, I mean, you've got, those fish have got 10, 15 feet of visibility.
Right.
You know, so it's like, you know, how much do I need to add? I know guys that catch them on flashers, but, you know, if there isn't a real advantage to me and all it's going to do is cause more tangles, cause more issues, then less is more. You know, I deal with half of the issues, you know, of people tangling. And, you know, the bottom line is, I mean, I sat yesterday amongst 100 boats and I caught as many fish as the other 100 boats combined, and I didn't have any of that bling on there.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know. I mean, that's just me. I know some really good fishermen that use those other things. But, you know, for me, a couple of years ago, I went back and did it how I was doing it in 2001 and 2002 and 2003. And, you know, really started parsing where I was fishing lead, where I was fishing divers. And I've got, you know, one side of the rod lockers is, you know, lead rods, and the other side of the rod lockers, you know, is
diver rods, and that's a key, and that's what I'm going to be doing when I head down there on Monday, and so my thing is I like having one in the dirt with a lead, and in that way I get a better feel for how much line I need to have out on that diver rod. I know you're using line counter reels as well, so if you're trying to fish a 20-foot contour, how much line do you let out to put you in the strike zone with a diver, Lance?
You know, that's a good question. You know, I think, you know, I think, it, you know, I think you're fishing, I don't know, if you're doing it on the line counter, depending on how hard that tide's pushing, you know, anywhere from 18 to 22 on the counter.
Gotcha.
You know, there's also inconsistencies in our counter.
Oh, yes.
So, you know, you might have to adjust a little bit. But, you know, as a general rule of thumb, 20 feet on the counter, 21, 22. I mean, I don't mind dragging and kicking up dirt with a diver and then, you know, pulling it up a pole or two, pulling it up 3 feet. You know, that's a good way to check. And, you know, or I'll use my back rod, similar to what you described, and, you know, kind of use that as kind of a measuring stick, you know, as far as where I am. But, you know, you can't, you know, one of the things that you talk about is like, you know, how fast these tide, you know, finding bottom is going to be different depending on how fast that tide's pushing. And, you know, you've really, you know, there's a game within the game, and I think this is probably one of the last things that people learn. You know, after fish movement, after all those things, it's called how to control the speed of your boat. And so often guys, you know, have the same throttle, you know, at the beginning of the tide as they do at the end of the tide, in the middle of the tide, and they really don't understand how the layers of currents are working. And, yeah, it just takes time to understand that, or even maybe the suggestion on somebody's, you know, from somebody like myself saying, hey, you know, there's times literally where you're in neutral. There's times when you're in reverse. There's times when you're trolling forward. And it might all happen at different points in the tide.
So, Lance, we were earlier in the show, we were talking about fishing just with the tide. And is that what you're doing down there when the current's running pretty good, just going the same direction the tide's going?
No. No, I mean, you would have to if you had lead, but, you know, I'm going to be holding it into it here. We're still bumping out right now. I'm sitting out at A Jetty. We're bumping out right now. I'm still doing 2 miles an hour, and I don't have a motor on. And, no, I'm going to sit right into it, baby.
And A Jetty is down. A Jetty's on the Chinook side, the Washington side, down below Desdemona Sands, you know, almost down to El Waco. And is it
El Waco.
It is El Waco.
Yeah, Jetty's El Waco, basically. Gotcha. So, you know, I mean, it's going to, you know, we're going to bump out in here and we'll start backtracking. And, you know, probably 90% of the time on this tide, I'll be pushing into it.
So Buoy 10 is one of your last best chances in Washington to get a really big Chinook, a gagger Chinook. So if you're fishing straight bait behind those divers, how big a leader are you running? How what pound test and what size hooks are you running in those herring rigs, Lance?
You know, I'm a little different. I mean, I run 30-pound Seaguar. I've been a Seaguar guy for 15 years. I like other types. I'll fish Maxima in certain places, but I'm really a Seaguar guy when it comes to, you know, fishing bait and just about everywhere. I just run the straight blue. I run a 30-pound. And, you know, I've got different size hooks on different size rolls. So, yep. Like today, because of the smaller baits, I'm actually fishing a 3-aught, 2-aught, 1-aught triple. And, you know, I'm running about a 7-inch leader, you know, a 7-inch between the three hooks.
Right.
But I've got 7.5-inch leaders. I've got 8-inch leaders. I got 4-aught, 3-aught, 2-aught. So I really pair my hooks with the size of herring that I'm getting in that day. And I've got hundreds of hooks tied, you know, before I even show up here, all on different lengths and different size hooks. So, I mean, I'm pretty into matching that. I run smaller hooks than most guys, for sure. I mean, I'm, you know, the hook that kills most of my fish down here is a 1-aught.
I know, and that is such a big key because of the penetration of those hooks in this era of barbless hooks down at Buoy 10. That's a big key, those fine wire hooks, and the same thing we've been finding out in Puget Sound with some presentations that works for us too. The blog he's talking about is Buoy 10 Salmon. Get your diver on. Go check it out, LanceFisherFishing.com. Lance, thank you for taking the time today, and we'll see you Monday, dude. I'm going to be hitting you up for a report.
Yeah, all good. You guys are doing great. Really appreciate you reaching out for me.
All right, Lance. Thanks. Good luck today, buddy. Go get them.
Yeah, have a great day. Bye-bye.
You bet. Yeah, it's so much fun to watch that diver rod just get absolutely bashed. Make sure your rod holders are on tight. You go down to Buoy 10 because you are going to get your stuff tested.
Well, and you're going to find out there the first part of the week, and hopefully we're going to have some reports next Saturday, possibly.
I hope so. I hope so, man.
I hope you have a 30-pound report for us. Get one of those.
Would not. One of those. Well, let's put it this way. I'm going with my old roommate, Kevin Gogan, you know, and if I don't get him into some fish, I'm going to get abused. So that's some extra motivation for me right there, no question about it. Coming up next, the hottest report we heard all week in techniques you need to succeed. It's Roy Robinson, Chevy.com's Really? Where? And it's next here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle.
No way.
You got to be kidding me.
Really? Where?
He's coming back from the island of Tinian and the Lady.
Where'd you get him, man? No way. You got to tell me. I'm not going to tell anybody.
Ocean turning red.
Hey, man, can you tell me where you got him?
I'll never put on a life jacket again.
Welcome to RoyRobinsonChevy.com's Really? Where?
Where?
Roy Robinson Chevrolet RV will take you anywhere. Really?
Bring in the new, hand out the old. That's truck month at Roy Robinson Chevrolet. No monthly payments for 90 days for qualified buyers. When you finance a GM Financial, that's that Silverado Allison Transmission Duramax Diesel Tow Rig, the best rig on the market, only at Roy Robinson Chevrolet, RoyRobinsonChevy.com.
Hey, Tom, it's time. Hey, Tom, it's time. Start thinking about coho fishing out around Area 10. Fishing out there in deep water. And so you want to change up your gear a little bit. You probably want to go to a Purple Haze Flasher and OAL 12R squid and with a little piece of herring on it. Now, I haven't been promoting herring too much during the Chinook fishing because there's been so many dogfish around.
Right, but for coho, it's kind of a different deal because you're up farther in the water column. And I'm telling you right now, I'm packing some green labels for cut plugs this morning.
You bet.
I got some blue labels that I'm going to be cutting strips on, and that's what – that's one of the things we're going to discuss as we get farther into coho season. There's definitely some damage you can do with herring strips and coho.
and just really get your speed up. What I would call severe downrigger cable angle.
severe case of downrigger angle.
Yeah, you get up to these speeds where it's like, man, we're going too fast.
I know, it almost feels uncomfortable.
Yeah, it does, especially after you're Chinook fishing at, you know, 2.25, 2.5 miles an hour. Just get up and go. And, you know, you can do it as an afterthought of Chinook fishing. You get out there in the rips. But if you want to go out there and really have a reasonable chance of catching some of those bigger ones that you and I have experienced catching this week, get out there early in the morning. Put your lines down at 65 feet. You know, be out there in deep water. Look for the rips. There'll definitely be some rips out there with these tides we have going. And just troll along parallel to them. They'll probably full of grass. Don't get too close to them. And just follow them along.
Once you get bit, when you're doing this midwater column coho thing, turn around.
You bet.
Turn around. Try to stay with that school, and you'll get bit again. Trust me. But you know the thing of it is, you're trolling so fast. I like to keep the boat moving when you first hook up. Make sure that hook's pulled in tight, particularly with anglers that haven't experienced these really active, hard fighting fish. The boat can help you keep line tension, especially if you're using flashers, because coho's favorite trick is to swim up alongside that flasher, swim back towards it, do their crazy freaky coho thing, and flip off, particularly next to the boat.
Right next to the boat.
So by keeping the boat in gear a little bit, John, you're going to get that flasher to rise up in the water column, and once that flasher's out of the water and you talk the person into not quitting when they see, how many people have you had in the boat that see that flasher come to the surface and say, oh, he's gone, because they can't see the fish. They're,
you mean how many times this week?
Yeah.
Yeah. Real hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously.
Once they get their head out of the water, it's tight drag all the way to the boat.
Yeah. Get that flasher out of the water, and then that's one less thing that fish can do to free himself. Then slow down the boat a little bit, get on it with the net, turn the boat to the side of the fish, turn the boat to the side the fish is on, and that will give you more of the side of your boat to work on to get that thing in the net. But they do crazy stuff next to the boat. You can catch these coho in conjunction at the same time that you're fishing for Chinook, but if you go give these coho an honest-to-goodness shot in Admiralty Inlet, they're there right now. On the border of Marine Area 9 and 10 between Edmonds and Kingston, they're there. In the South Sound, they're starting to push in. Look at the catch rates that closed down Nia Bay. Look at what's going on in Marine Area 5 right now with regard to what's coming by and the catches we're seeing at Port Angeles. There's coho coming by, all the traditional beach spots, Bush Point, the bait box, Mark Uwasa joint. Now, talk to us about that. That's a possession point on Whidbey Island. All those beaches are going to be producing coho, and there's coho in the middle of the shipping lanes. I've seen them, and I've caught them, John.
They're there, and I'll verify it, because there was more coho checked in at the Shoshone ramp yesterday than there was Chinook, and there's been a lot of Chinook.
This Marine Area 10 thing went off at least a week earlier than it did last year.
Yeah, I agree.
You know
what's surprising, Tom, is the size of the coho that are out there right now. I wouldn't expect coho over 10 pounds to be around, or even at 10 pounds in early August. I would expect a whole bunch of, you know, 6, 7, 8 pounders.
If you don't grab a dozen herring, cut plug them, hit them with that Pro-Cure brine and bite, toughen them up a little bit, use either a Blaze Orange or Chartreuse sinker, a 4-ounce sinker, throw it 20 strips behind the boat and just let it soak there while you're doing your downer. You're doing yourself a disservice, because some of the bigger coho will be caught that way too, on that larger cut plug that's doing its thing on top of the water column. It's so much fun. Give it a try, and be thankful for this fishery, because right now, Marine Area 10 is the best game in town. I mean, Buoy 10 is starting to pick up.
Both species.
For Chinook and coho. It's really surprising. It's surprisingly good, so don't miss out. We may only have a week of this left. The latest stats I saw the Chinook number at 55%. That was 4 days ago, and not just 4 days. That's 4 days of good fishing ago. We may get next weekend. But boy, we're on borrowed time with regard to this quota in Marine Area 10.
Yeah, last week, I think when we were on the show, we were at about 23%. We're at the peak of the run right now. So, you know, a lot of fish were coming in. So we covered, 27% or more in a week. So if you add that to the quota already, you know, you're getting close to the top.
If you ever got a question for us during the week, hit us up at Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. We're at The Outdoor Line on either one of those social media platforms. You can always hit the website, theoutdoorline.com, for more information. Get yourself an Outdoor Line t-shirt, Well, anytime you're there, John, you got a super excellent active page, John Sporting Goods, on Facebook as well. For Matt Nelson behind the glass, for John Martinez, I'm Tom Nelson. This has been The Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Play ball! This season, Heritage Distilling Company is proud to sponsor the Bottom of the Fifth. Because when you reach the bottom of the fifth, we remind you to open a new bottle of award-winning BSB, Brown Sugar Bourbon. Available at retailers everywhere and at the BSB Lounge at the ballpark. You can't spell baseball without BSB, or basketball, or bobsledding, beef kebabs. Heritage Distilling Company, proud sponsor of the Bottom of the Fifth and your Seattle Mariners. Light bulbs, bouillabaisse, belly buttons.